produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to our program, God Can, presented by Pastor Stanley Moodley, Senior Pastor at Faith Center Ministries International. This program will give you practical tips and foundational biblical principles to propel your life to new heights with Jesus Christ. Listen in now with your host, Pastor Stanley Moodley.
Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. The passion of the Christ. As we prepare for the days in which we celebrate the Holy Week, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday, we prepare ourselves this morning to begin to understand the passion, the purpose of the Christ as to why he came. As the word of the Lord declares, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. This morning we know that God's way of uniting us, of uniting mankind, his creation, with him, with suffering and with love, took upon himself the sin and the degradation of the entire human race. As I've shared with you last week, our key scripture in this teaching is from Matthew's Gospel chapter 27, and this week we look to verses 32 to verses number 44. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross, and then they came to Golgotha, which means place of a skull. They offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there, and over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You would say, destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. And let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. As we look at these words in the Gospel of Matthew, as I said last week, we would find the same verses also in the book of Psalms chapter 22. As we have looked at prophecy and fulfillment. But as we go deeper into the passion of the Christ, I want us to know today that God loves every person on the face of the earth. Christ came not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. You might be Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, atheist, or just theist. God loves every person, Jew or Greek. Every religion, nation, or social movement as symbols which attempt to capture the essence of their ideology, philosophy, and the foundation that defines it. For example, Buddhism often uses a lotus flower because its wheel shape depicts the cycle of birth and death or beauty and harmony out of chaos. Modern Judaism uses the Star of David, which combines two equilateral triangles to speak of God's eternal covenant with David. Islam uses the symbol of a crescent and a star, which originally depicted the face of the moon and was used by Muslims during the Ottoman Empire. The Soviet Union used the infamous hammer and sickle to represent the intersection of industry and agriculture. The swastika, which was made infamous by the Nazis despite its long history, was meant to symbolize creativity and prosperity. Now, symbols have emotional power and meaning because they represent something beyond what is simply seen. As I said earlier on, if you hear this morning from any other religion, I want you to know that I love you with the love of the Lord. This morning I'm just using symbols to identify some of the religious symbols that are carried out. Now, a symbol is a window to a larger message and more significant in a meaning. The precious and reverent symbol of Christianity is, of course, the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. And like it, like other symbols, it is loaded with significance, with power, with impact, and with meaning. And I want us to know today, as we look at the meanings, as we look at these symbols today, but what makes the symbol of the cross different to other symbols is the simple fact that the cross is not a naturally attractive symbol. In fact, it was a terrifying symbol of torture. It was a symbol of judgment. It was a symbol of imperial oppression. No wonder Paul says that the message about the cross is foolishness to the Gentiles and an offense to the Jews. Because in that day, the cross was used to, let's use the word, punishment for the sinners, for murderers, for vile sinners. So it did not take well with the Jews and with the Gentiles, because the cross at first, at natural glance, is offensive and foolish. John Stott, a great theologian, captures the essence of the problem as he reflects on what first century people must have thought about the cross. They really did not give much meaning to the cross. But I want us this morning, as we capture the passion of the Christ, when we look at even symbols that we go through this morning, our attention could go back to Exodus chapter 12, and when we look at the sign that was given to the Israelites that had to leave the land because The angel came to them and said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over." The blood was a symbol of the power of an almighty God. As we look through and capture the passion of the Christ, what is our symbol of salvation? The cross. The Apostle Paul wrote about the gospel's mystery revealed through Christ and his death on the cross. Irenaeus, a second century church father, described it when he explained, "By means of a tree, we were made debtors to God. Likewise, by means of a tree, the cross, we can obtain the remission of the debt." Are you with me, church? Beyond glorious heart, ancient history, and intriguing antidotes, the cross stands as a symbol of salvation. For reasons beyond my comprehension, the mighty God stooped to conquer evil and forgive sin. Now, this is the eternal commitment. This is the inexpressible value and mystery of the cross. Let me tell you this. The cross was not Jewish tradition. Because when we look at this, it was the Romans that brought the punishment. And as we look at the passion of the Christ this morning, the God the Father, who loved his creation so much, that God the Son said, "I will go and take upon myself the sin and degradation of the entire human race." And that too on the cross. Now this is the eternal commitment. This is the inexpressible value and mystery of the cross. When we look through time and history, when we look through the chapters and generations of what the passion of the Christ was meant, we have read a few of the prophecies from the Old Testament last week. Now, can you imagine if the Romans were not in power at that time? The prophecies wouldn't have been fulfilled. Now, this goes through much research as we begin to study the happenings, how all of this came to place. In my little mind, I cannot comprehend. But I want us to know today, church, the God of heaven, the creator of the entire universe and all of mankind, he is who he says he is. He has never changed and will never change, church. When God works his plan, nothing and no one can change it. The mystery of the symbol of the cross. How could any sane person worship as a God, a dead man who had been justly condemned as a criminal and subject to the most humiliating form of execution? In those days, there were three types of execution. The cross was the most humiliating form of execution. The combination of death, crime, and shame put him beyond the place of respect, let alone worship. My aim in this series, as you know, every year we do a different series on the passion of the Christ. But my aim in this series, in this few weeks, to walk you through the crucifixion and the death of Jesus, to show you how the cross, once a symbol of defeat and shame, becomes a symbol of fulfillment, becomes a symbol of salvation, becomes a symbol of victory, becomes a symbol of deliverance, becomes a symbol of healing, church. a once disregarded, disrespected, humiliating symbol has now changed course, that in the cross, I see my sins forgiven. That in the cross, my salvation, that I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, that old rugged cross. In order to do this, we will go through Matthew 27 and connect it to some of the passages in the Old Testament and New Testament, and begin to show you how a symbol of defeat became a symbol of victory. It's all through the passion of the Christ. A.C. Dixon says this: in Jesus Christ on the cross, there is refuge, there is safety, there is shelter, and all the power of sin upon him. Our track cannot reach us when we have taken shelter under the cross that atones for our sins. Hallelujah. Once a people who was afraid of the cross, once a people who were terrified of the cross, can now take shelter, can now take refuge, can now draw strength from the power of the cross. In our text, it's about 9 a.m. on Friday. Good Friday. Jesus has been betrayed by Judas, unjustly charged by the religious leaders that were brought before Pilate, exchanged for a criminal, savagely flogged and mercilessly mocked by the Roman soldiers. Since crucifixion was as much about making a point as it was about killing a criminal, the condemned person was required to carry the instrument of their death. Usually the cross beam of the cross through the city to the place of execution had to be carried by the criminal. As you can imagine, people would stop what they were doing or turn out to see what was happening. Jesus, who has been up all night, terribly beaten, is not able to carry the cross the entire way. Now, when it is clear to the soldiers that Jesus cannot make it, they require someone in the crowd, Simon from Cyrene, to complete the journey, according to verse 32. Cyrene was located in modern-day Libya, and it was an old Greek settlement, and Simon was likely a pilgrim who was in Jerusalem for the feast. As you know, this passion of the Christ, this took place during the week or the Passover week, where everybody came to celebrate in Jerusalem. Jesus led to the place of execution, which is called Golgotha in verse 33. And here it has, which means the place of a skull, preferably referring to the amount of death that happened there, or that the area somehow had the look of a skull. Interestingly, the Latin word for skull is calvaria. The Latin word calvaria, from which we get the English word Calvary. The exact location of Golgotha is not entirely known, but we do not know that it must have been a long, highly traveled road in the city, because the intention was to execute people in a public manner. In other words, the execution was so humiliating that every person passing by could stop and observe this execution of the criminal. They wanted to see who the criminal was. They wanted to have an insight as to who and what was the crime. The passion of the Christ. The end game was not just death. It was not just to take a man and execute him. It was to humiliate and terrorize the person. Crucifixion was one of the cruelest methods of execution that has ever been devised. It was probably invented by the barbarians on the edge of the known world, and it was modified and adopted by the Greeks and Romans. Central to its cruelty was the fact that crucifixion delayed death, allowing for the victim to suffer with great agony. The victim's hands were tied or nailed to the horizontal beam, and a large spike was driven through the feet as they were placed on top of each other. From this position, breathing was very difficult and was only accomplished by pushing up on the spike to gain a breath. It often took more than a day for the crucified person to die. It was a torturous death. For some, it was a slow torture. The persecution, the humiliation, the terror that the crucified person had to endure is far beyond my understanding and comprehension. However, the goal was not just execution. Crucifixion was a political tool that was meant to terrorize people. So execution was public, prolonged, and humiliating. The prisoner was stripped naked and hung in a high traffic area. In other words, multitudes of people could see. The Romans, even as I share this morning, the torture is truly unbearable. Because remember, the Son of God took on the form of human flesh. Although being deity, although on the cross expressing the divinity of the Christ, he was still flesh and blood. He still could bear, if an alpha spin pricks me, I feel that pain. Can you imagine this morning the passion of the Christ? Could you begin to try this morning to look at Calvary or the place called Golgotha? Because the Son of the living God, or the Godhead in the entirety, loved me so much. Loved a sinner so much that all the debt that I had to pay for my sin, for my cruelty, for my life, and to give me hope of salvation, took it all upon himself on the cross. Church, that is the passion of the Christ. Can you imagine being stripped naked in a public area for everyone to see? The Romans used it quite often with the Jews in 4 BC. The Roman general Varus crucified 2,000 Jews. And the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD by Titus included the crucifixion of Jewish prisoners around the city walls. So many people were crucified that the Romans ran out of space and crosses. Crucifixion was all about intimidation. It was designed to send a message. The message that the crucifixion was designed to send was a message of defeat. In other words, you are finished. You are defeated. You are no more. You are no good. You are done for. But praise be to God that the cross of the Christ is not a symbol of defeat, but it's a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of life. It's a symbol of everlasting life. He has not been done for. Because of the power of the resurrected Christ, church, he forever reigns in our hearts. Will you stand with me this morning? He paid the debt that he did not owe. I owe the debt that I could never pay. Christ Jesus, God's Son, died for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, church, or wherever you are online this morning, you want to make a commitment to Christ for the love he shed on the cross, took upon himself our disgrace and our sin, that we could be forgiven and have salvation through the power of the cross. I want you to raise your hands this morning. All over this house, I see hands raised as we make a commitment, because he is worthy, church. His healer, deliverer, savior is everything to me. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, I come to you through your precious Son, Jesus, this morning. I thank you, Lord, as we stand in this congregation this morning, with all our hands raised to you in surrender. And we say, Lord, we surrender our all to you. Take us as we are. We give our lives to you. Forgive us of our sin and iniquity, Lord. And make us whole again. In the name of Jesus, I pray this morning for salvation to the unsaved, healing to the sick, deliverance to the oppressed. And I pray for life in the cross to every man, woman, boy, and girl. And we thank you, Lord, as your people go to their homes. Father, we bring before you this morning our offering and tithes. We pray that you would bless every cheerful giver. And Lord, that your funds will be used for the extension of your glorious kingdom here on earth. So we pray blessings and call those things that are not as though they are. And Lord, this morning, we say, may the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rest and abide with each and every one of you, for now and until we meet again. God bless you.
For more information about Faith Center Ministries International, call our offices on 031-464-5839. That's 031-464-5839. Or visit us at 341 Stella Road, Malvern.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.